No sound.
To begin to start off this morning with the Bible reading. It's something that we're going to talk about and then read it ourselves. Our service or our theme this morning is from Psalm 19, How Wonderful is the Lord. I'm sure when we start to say it, I'm sure it's something that you would have heard before. It's a Psalm of David. It tells us at the top of the psalm that it's actually attributed to David writing it. And I'm sure when you think about David the shepherd boy, I'm sure you'll think he must have had time, plenty of time, to be out in the fields watching the beautiful sunsets and sunrises that God has made for us. We also had another reading, and that was the Ten Commandments. That's why the children doing the Ten Commandments rather than doing what we're doing today. But the two work really well together, and we'll talk about that a bit later. But first of all, I'd like you to think of the most beautiful sunrise, sunset, sky, whatever, that you have seen. Have you ever seen a really nice one? Have you seen many nice ones? Think about them. Who can tell me something about the most beautiful one they've seen? Let me show you a couple and see what you think. Have you seen the sky look like that? Ever seen the sky look like that? Yes, very, very good, Kelly. What do we see when we look at the sky looking like that? Be careful. Be careful. Be inside. Different. Just a few different ones. This was one of my favourites. And I know that it hasn't been photoshopped because Bob actually took it for us. And it was absolutely magnificent the way the sky was. The psalm starts off with the first line, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And when you look at it, can't you just see how beautiful it is? Perhaps you've seen it like that. Did you get up the other night and look at the full moon? Did you look at it when it was a super big blue moon? You seen one like that? Just all the way. Okay. Bit more like a dream-like sequence, but the moon in a different phase. Still declaring God's glory. What about the beautiful lights? Have you ever seen those? Been blessed enough to see those. Anybody seen them? You have, Barry. You have? Well, some people are very blessed when they see something like that. But the heavens declare the glory of God. Do you agree with that statement? Okay, let's read the first part of the psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God. It'll come up. You don't have to look it up, but you can if you like. The heavens declare the glory of God.
And the
moon declares
the same.
One day tells it to another.
And lights the night to the
There is speech. Sorry, there is no speech or language.
Nor are there voices there.
Yet their sound has gone out through all the world.
And their words to the ends of the earth.
There he has pitched a tent for the sun. Its rising is at one end of the heavens, and its circuit to their farthest bounds. I'm going to stop there because that part's all about the glory of God, how nature shows us the glory of God. The next part goes on and it changes a little bit. The next part tells us about the law, God's law. So we'll look at that bit. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The commandment of the Lord is true, and the next is simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right and rejoice the heart.
The
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever.
The judgments of the Lord are unchanging, and righteousness forever.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Moreover, by them is your servant taught. Who can listen? Oh, well, we might stop it there. That's telling us about the law, God's law. Now, God has various kinds of laws. There's laws that govern the universe. They're the sort of things that scientists and astronomers want to look at. And we talked about the glory that comes when you look at those. This law is God's law, the law that he's telling us the way to keep and to live. You can see how when the young people are doing the Ten Commandments, you can see how they dovetail in together. The commandments tell us how to live. This is telling us about the law, how perfect that the law is. But the psalm goes on and it changes direction once again. This is David's response to talking about how good God is, how merciful, how wonderful, and the law that he's given us. So let's just finish off this bit. Who can know their own unwitting sins? Keep your servant also from presumptuous sins, lest they get the mastery over me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I'm sure you've heard that last one many times and in many different ways, haven't you? That's where it comes from, Psalm 19. Now that was David's response. Keep me clean, keep me pure, help me, Lord. What's your response to thinking about the glory of God and thinking about the way God has given us the laws? I'm not going through the Ten Commandments, but I'm wondering if I said, who can remember learning the Ten Commandments off by heart when they were in Sunday school or going to be confirmed or something? You know the Ten Commandments. I'm not going there, but think about them. They're given to us as a personal way of behaving, but also as society's way of behaving. Because if everybody lived according to the Ten Commandments and according to the law of God, we wouldn't have much problem, would we? Can you remember how Jesus summed them all up just in a couple of sentences? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. If you sit and look at the Ten Commandments, you can see how they either fit into looking after your neighbour or loving God. That was a nice, precise way of summing them all up. Now, several years ago, when we first came to the parish, and I know not everybody was here when we first came, but when we first came to the parish, Stuart wanted to go away. He said, will you look after these people for me for the weekend while I'm away? He said, yes. So I'm just looking around to see who was here then, and I'm going to ask you what we talked about. What do you mean you can't remember? It was only a few years ago. Well, I remember, because it was something that I thought was rather special. And we talked about who holds you together. When you see the picture, you might not remember. And if you weren't here at that time, don't worry. If you were here, don't worry if you still didn't remember. It just shows how God works on two levels. He works on a microcosm, on the tiniest possible way that something can be put together. And he works on a macrocosm, the biggest way that things can fit together, but they always fit together perfectly because God has worked them out. Now, our body is made up of cells, But if it was just a collection of cells, what would happen? We'd be just everywhere. We'd be just lumps of cells. There is something that holds all those cells together in place. It's called, a molecular. Now I forgot. See, you're making me lose my track. It's an adhesive. It's an adhesive molecule, and it holds the cells together. And this is what it looks like when it's there. Now, how something that shape holds the cells together is beyond me because I'm not very scientific. But it's God's signature deep down inside of every one of us. Something to think about. It is. It's called laminin. Now, I know when we spoke to you before, we showed you a whole lead up to this. But if you just remember the picture and remember that's what holds you together, that's an adhesive molecule that holds all your cells in place. But as I said before, God doesn't always just work in the very microscopic way. He works in a very macro way as well. And I want to go back to talking about the heavens for a minute. Have you heard of the Hubble telescope?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? It was out there sending back pictures. And it was looking at black holes in particular. This is what it found in a black hole. And this surprised me. In one black hole, I'm not saying every black hole, but in one black hole, that is what the picture that it sent back. God is caring for us, caring for us, in as small things as possible and in as large things as possible. The glory of God. Oh, okay. There's lots of photos of what it found. There's not too many of these. Now, there was a theologian, J.B. Phillips, and this is what he said. This was a quote that he said, thinking probably about God and God's glory. It's significant that the Bible makes no attempt to prove that there is a God. The fact of God's existence is self-evident and taken for granted. You know, when you read the Bible, it doesn't try and explain. It just tells you God was there. Then it goes on to say, the person who says differently is bluntly called a fool, from Psalm 14 and from Psalm 53. The root cause of atheism is traced in both these psalms to moral rather than intellectual sources. It's not that a man cannot believe so much as he will not believe. All the evidence I've shown you this morning, and there are many people who will not accept that. Before we go on to something, another change of scene, I just want to say to you that it's important to remember things like the glory of God that we see. As we go outside, I often look at the sky and see these beautiful things. It's important to remember God's signature deep inside of us. But there's something even more important, and that's what Jesus did for us. We must not forget that. But I wanted to finish with this piece of music, Indescribable, because that's just the way I think about God. See if you agree.
Of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring. You place the stars in the sky and you know.
Or is it going to be, what do you want me to do, God? Something to think about.